Take your Bible, look in the Exodus. Jesse was ministering to us there. It's a blessing. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Verse 16. Or verse 6. Exodus 19, 6. Amen. Now, I want to preach a little bit this morning about the kingdom of God. Amen. Kingdom of God. People get a misconception about the kingdom of God. And you see, you hear about, you know, you say, what is all this religious? Why is there so many different religions? You got the Muslims, you got the Catholics, you got the Episcopalians, you got different religions, and all these religions believe that they're going to bring in the kingdom. And the whole Bible, there's more in the Bible about the kingdom than there is about the virgin birth, and more about than about the death of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom. Now, you and I, we don't realize how important the kingdom is. The kingdom. Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, we're going to try to bring in the kingdom. And, you know, we're all going to be reigning on this earth. They pervert the word of God. They change everything and make people think, well, okay, we've got to go out and work for the kingdom and prepare the kingdom for the Lord. And the Catholic Church believes that's why they already have a kingdom. It's called the Vatican. It's a kingdom. Have you ever been over there? It's got, I mean, you got palaces, you got all that, and they believe the Pope is the king. And he should be the king of the world. And now all of them are trying to bring in the kingdom. They're all trying to control the world. That's what they want to get a hold of. The Muslims, their whole thing is infiltrate, take over, and bring in the kingdom. We'll kill everybody that doesn't agree with us, and we'll bring in the kingdom, and we'll have the kingdom. And that's why these imams, they believe the 12th iman is going to be the Messiah, their Messiah. Then you got the Jews. They would have had the kingdom. They would have had it. And God started the thing out. That was the kingdom. And then the Lord was upset because they wanted a king. And the Lord wanted to be their king. And so you got all these religions, and you see them on Sunday morning. Now we're serving the king, and we're trying to be bring in the kingdom and not bring it in like the world does, but we're trying to spread the kingdom, put it that way. We're trying to spread it to get people saved and get them in the kingdom. And when Jesus Christ was on this earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Both of them were at hand. And here you got people that right now believing that they're going to bring in the kingdom. They're called post-millennialists. And what they believe is we got to get the world ready for the king to come. So we're going to do a good job, and we're going to try to get everybody on the same page. That's what a United Nations is for. They have a United World Council of Churches, and they think, okay, we get all together, and we can bring everybody together, and we can all get on the same page. That's why you look at the news, you say, why won't the news media say much about the Muslims? Why? Number one, they're afraid. And number two is they think, well, we got to get along. Everybody's got to get along, so we're going to bring in the kingdom, so we got to do this. And we got to bring in the kingdom. So they're all trying to bring in the kingdom. Everybody's trying to bring in the kingdom. And we're trying to spread the kingdom, but all these different religions, that's why they got started. They're all thinking, okay, we're going to bring in the kingdom. We're going to be the ones. We're going to be the ones. And Mormons said, we're going to spread the word, and we're going to be the kingdom and bring in the kingdom. And the kingdom's going to be from Utah all the way around the world. And then Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Russell came along, and they started the Watchtower, and they're putting out all over the world trying to get people into the kingdom. You got the Catholic Church going out. The Catholic Church, how many of you have ever heard of the Crusades? The Crusades was to go out, infiltrate, And that's what they have, a Jesuit order of the Catholic Church. And the Jesuit order that people, most people don't even know about the Jesuit order. The Jesuit order was started in 1500s to go infiltrate kingdoms and governments to bring those governments under the power of the Pope. That way the kingdom will be spread and we get control of the world. And that's what the whole thing's about. And most people read their Bible, they don't know that's what it's all about. They say, man, that's crazy. They're just a different religion trying to bring it all together. No, it ain't. They're trying to bring in the kingdom. They're trying to bring about the kingdom. And we as children of God, we're supposed to be about the kingdom. And we're supposed to be about the business of the kingdom. And Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. That's something right there you need to underline, eagle's wings. Because the Bible says in Revelation, God's going to bring them out of Jerusalem and out of Israel, because the Antichrist is going to go after him. He said he's going to bring him on eagle's wings. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words that the Lord commanded them. So, you know, when Jesus Christ said he prayed, we're going to look at that in a minute, but he prayed about the kingdom. Now, take your Bible, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And we're all about the king's business. That's what we're supposed to be, about the king's business. Now, if you're either helping the kingdom or you're hindering the kingdom. You hear what I said? I said you're either helping the kingdom or you're hindering the kingdom. And as a child of God, we're supposed to spread the kingdom. We're not going to bring the kingdom in, but what we're trying to do is spread it. And I'll show you that in a minute. But we're supposed to be out spreading the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that you might see the good works of thy Father. It says in verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, or back up to 10. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And it says, all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is what? The kingdom. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches, honor cometh of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort of all things come of thee? Of thine own hand, or of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, sojourners, as were all our fathers. And our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. He's saying everything we have, God, came from you anyway. Everything you have, if you're sitting in here, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you got. You say, I'm a self-made man, all that stuff. No, you got it from God. And everything you have, God gave it to you. And God can take it away. You never find people going to the graveyard and following the hearse. You don't find U-Hauls following them, and they don't take it all with them. And you go, the Bible tells you, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Look at verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hath pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in the imagination and thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare thine heart unto thee. It says, give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, to do all these things, to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David, to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed on the Lord, and offered burnt offerings on the Lord. And on the morrow after they that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and so on. So they offered up and saying, God, you gave us this kingdom. You gave us everything we have, and we're going to honor you with it. And he says, I'm going to make the priest and the holy nation, and they're going to be reigning. Now, take your Bible, look in Matthew 13. Look in Matthew 13. And here we're going to look at the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is on this earth. If you can get anything down, get this. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is spiritual. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, when they were in the garden, the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom of heaven, they were there. And God says, okay, I'm gonna walk among you. I made this kingdom for you, Adam. And Eve, I'm going to give you this kingdom, and I'm going to come and walk with you every day. I'm going to fellowship with you. He said, I want you to just address it, take care of it, and just be a blessing. But there's one tree in the middle. Don't watch out for. Don't eat that tree. Satan showed up in the middle of their kingdom. And Satan came and deceived them in their kingdom. And so they end up eating from the tree. God destroyed the garden, or took the garden away. God took it out, and he said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn, and women are going to have to bear children, and sorrow and childbearing, all that stuff. So this kingdom, it got defeated. It got overtaken. And the Lord was their king. And then all of a sudden, you come through there, and God finds Abraham, a man after his own heart. And God says, I'm going to make you a great man. I'm going to give you a people, and I'm going to make them people, and I'm going to be their king. And then in 1 Samuel, you'll find where, go back to 1 Samuel, and you'll find where the people asked Samuel for a king. Samuel was judging the people. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And Samuel said unto the Israel, verse 1, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and great-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. And he makes Saul a king. Because the people said, give us a king. We want a king like everybody else. We want a king just like everybody else has something. And they wanted a king. And God says to Samuel, don't get upset. He said, don't be upset. He said, they've not rejected you, but they rejected me. God wanted to be the king that walked with them and used his prophets to testify to them. And they said, no, we want a king like everybody else. And that's the way Christians are today. They don't want God to be the king. They want somebody that, you know, they want a king like everybody else. They want to be just like everybody else. They want everything just like everybody else. They want to do like everybody else. But God wants to be the king. He wants to be king in your life. Now, Matthew 13, look at Matthew 13, look what the Bible says. Matthew 13, and look at verse, you find all the way through Matthew 13 talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. I've had people say, man, I don't understand all this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It's simple, man. When God was in the garden with Adam and the kingdom of God was there, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But when Adam sinned, the kingdom of God left and went out. With the tree of life, it went out. It goes out. Guess what? I said the tree of life went out. So what happens? The kingdom of God goes out, then the earth becomes the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says, and we're going to look at that in a minute, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Now, if this is the only kingdom that you're interested in, is an earthly thing, then I feel sorry for you. Amen. Because this kingdom down here is sorrow and trouble and heartache and all the other stuff goes along with it. I'm not looking for the kingdom of heaven. We're already in it. I'm looking for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what I want to look for. And the kingdom of God shows up again after Adam, 4,000 years after Adam gets out of the garden, Jesus Christ shows up. 4,000 years, Jesus Christ was born. Guess what? The kingdom of heaven showed up, or the kingdom of God showed up. Again, the kingdom of God shows up because the Jesus Christ represented the kingdom of God. He shows up after 4,000 years. He shows up. He's called the tree of life. He is the tree of life. He said, if you don't eat and drink of my blood and eat my flesh, he said, you'll know why I was entering the kingdom of God. He becomes the tree of life. He is the tree of life. Now, in the millennium, you'll read your Bible in Revelation, it says the tree of life shows back up. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven shows back up again. So look in Matthew 13. Look at this. Matthew 13 talking about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talking here. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude gathered together unto him. And so he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seed. Some fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony ground. My batteries are blinking here. Turn this one on, brother. And it says, and they were not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth of earth. It says, when the sun was dried up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. I put down there, I prayed 110 for me. I pray for 110 fold. And it says, who have ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. The kingdom of heaven is physical. You got people down here trying to make this their kingdom. They're not planning on getting saved. They said, well, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe that there's a hell. I don't believe there's a heaven. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe there's a hell. Mormons don't believe there's a hell. And they said, well, I'm just going to make my kingdom down here. I remember I worked for a guy named Chuck Wagner. Chuck Wagner was a roofer. They're millionaires, him and his brother. And I was over, he was bought a house in Northwest Washington, right close to the Catholic Church. He wanted to be close to the Catholic Church there, the eighth largest in the world. And Chuck was a Catholic. And I remember saying to Chuck, I went out and he said, what do you think about my house, Alan? And he bought a house. He paid a half $1 million for it. And he knocked the side out. And he was adding another half $1 million. So I said, you're not saved. You're not going to go to heaven. So you're trying to make a kingdom on this earth. You're trying to make a heaven here. And he said, yeah, Alan. And he was trying to be smart. He said, yeah, Alan, I'm going to tell you something. And it's hell doing it. And boy, he said a mouthful when he said that. He said, man, I'm trying to make a kingdom here, and it's hell doing it. If this is all the kingdom that you look forward to, my God, it's just hell on earth, man. Hell on wheels. Now, Jesus Christ promised the kingdom of God, and we're going to look at that. It says in verse 12, look at verse 12, whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Thus, therefore, speak on to them in parables, because they see not. It says, hearing they hear not, whither they neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. There's a lot of people sitting in church. There's a lot of people sitting in church this morning. They hear it. They hear the word of God, but they don't understand nothing. They don't even want to understand. They don't even want to go into it. They just say, I'm doing my duty. I'm here, and that's it. And they go through this. So if you read chapter 13 of Matthew, you go through there. All you hear is the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 36. And Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And it says, the field is the world. The Catholic Church believes that the field is the church. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. It says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather up his kingdom, all things that offend, And it says, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and brought it. So the Lord's telling you, man, down here, God's going to give you these little treasures, these little things. He said, once you find it, he said, you better hang on to it. You better sell everything you have. And that's why he said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to be willing to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, everything, and be my disciple. Why? Man, it's going to cost you something to go into the kingdom. It's going to cost something. And going into the kingdom is the greatest anything anybody could do. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 12. Go to Luke chapter 12. Look at this. Look at Luke chapter 12. Thank God for the promises of the Word of God. All the way through this Bible, it talks about a kingdom and a king. It talks about the kings. You find that Israel had a king over them, and they fought another kingdom, and another kingdom fought them. It was always kingdoms fighting each other, kingdoms, people taking each other slaves and taking their land and all that stuff. It's still going on today. They're still going on. I mean, we went in Afghanistan. I mean, we went into Iraq. We went in all those. We took away their kingdom, and then we give it back and try to rebuild it the way we want it. And that's the way it's happening all throughout time. Men wanting to have a kingdom, men wanting to take over a kingdom, and man, I tell you what, it's just hell on earth, just hell on earth. Look in Luke chapter 12, look at verse 32. He says in verse 32, back up to verse 31, is that rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Notice it says the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You hear what I said? It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what he tells Peter, he says, I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you keys. He says, sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourself bags which have waxed not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, let your loins be girded about with your light, your lights burning. And ye yourself, like on the men that wait for their Lord, when he return from the wedding, then shall he come and knock, and they may open on him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Really, I know this is tribulation, but I say unto you, he that shall girt himself shall make him to sit down and meet, and will come and serve him, serve them. Now, it says back in, go back to Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew 6. Now, we're going to do some turning here this morning. Go back to Matthew 6. The kingdom is important to God. The kingdom ought to be important to us. When it comes to the kingdom, it should be important. And man, I tell you what, that should be our main goal, is for the kingdom. So what are you doing to advance the kingdom? You know, I know the religions, what they think, is the Muslims say, all right, we're advancing the kingdom. We kill anybody that disagrees with us. We're advancing our kingdom. That's their kingdoms. That's Muhammad's kingdom. Yeah. They got the Catholic Church said, we're going to advance the kingdom, and we'll kill anybody that doesn't agree with us. They did do that. Yeah. Their tactics have changed a little bit now. They can't get away with it. Not like the Muslims can. So they're trying to bring in their kingdom. They already got a palace. They already got a city that sits on seven hills. And man, all these religions, they've got their palace. That's why you see churches built like with billions of dollars. The cathedral in Washington, D.C., it didn't cost millions, it cost billions. Why? They're building a kingdom. Now, we are supposed to be about our Father's business in the kingdom. So how do we do that? Now, but look in Matthew chapter 6. You know, we get so caught up, we're building our own little kingdom. We're trying to get caught up in our own little kingdom. And it doesn't happen, especially as a child of God. You try to have your own little kingdom, and man, you'll just fail. It fails every time. Somebody get me some batteries for this thing, brother. Somebody get me some. We're dying. But we're trying to get our own little kingdom. You got Christians trying to build their own little kingdom. They have their own little doctrine. They're going to live the way they want to live. And they're not advancing God's kingdom. Guess what? You're going to fail. You'll fail. Now look at Matthew chapter 6. Here's what the Lord told them. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 29. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, talking about the flowers and talking about all the things that God does. He says, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory shall not be arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow to cast it into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things. But seek ye first, God should be first. Amen. He should be first in our lives. Amen. Everything ought to be Him first. Amen. In your marriage, in your home, in your raising your children, in loving your wife and loving your husband, in a church, he ought to be first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. So wait a minute. Didn't you say all these religions trying to build a kingdom? Yeah, they are. But you said, where is the kingdom of God now? I'll show you that in a minute. Glad you asked. We're going to see that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. See, we get so caught up in our own little kingdom, our own little world, we become our own king. We're sitting on the throne. We're ruling our lives. We're telling God where to go. We're telling him, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live for you. I'm not going to honor you. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. We live in our own little kingdom, and we're our own king. And guess what happened? You start raising kids like that.
Amen.
Your kids come just like you.
Right.
Your own little kingdom. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about the way I feel. You know why Facebook's so great on people, for people? It's all about me.
Right.
I got my little kingdom. Everybody's going to follow me. I want everybody to be jealous of me. I want them to know what I'm doing, and they can be jealous. Am I right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on you. Then look what he says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient on the day is the evil thereof. God said, I'll take care of you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. What do? We can't sleep at night because we're worried about tomorrow. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 17. What are you doing for the kingdom's sake? How are you helping the kingdom of God? I'll tell you how you can do it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things about it. Seek him first in everything you do. Let your light so shine before men. You can't shine your light if you're not getting fed from the source of light. You can't shine. If you're getting your shine from the hills, or from the bars, or from the drugs, or some other source, that's a fake.
Yeah.
You know what the devil's called? He's called an angel of what?
Light.
You know what he is? He's a counterfeit.
Amen.
And if you're shining on your own, You know what you are? If you're saved, you're a counterfeit. You're a counterfeit. So that's why problems come in Christians' life so much. I see people go through the same, every year, same. They go through the same process every year. They're saved. They say, well, I know I'm saved. Well, that's probably why you have.
Something happened to him.
The devil don't want you to hear it. Luke 17. Luke 17. Look at verse 20. You all have seen this before if you've been in this church. Like I said, the kingdom in the garden was perfect. It was perfect. And the Bible talks about if the kingdom of God is inside you, it makes you, and you have a love for God and you're trying to put him first. It says love is perfected. And the Bible talks about there's joy in the kingdom. There's joy in the kingdom. And when the rightful king is in his rightful place, there's joy in the kingdom.
Amen.
When the rightful king is sitting on the throne, there's happiness. There's contentment. There's peace. Doesn't that sound like the Holy Ghost? Bible says this. It says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Then it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, such. When the rightful king has his place in the throne, there's joy. You got Christians going through the same old. No joy, no happiness. Woe is me. Why me? Why this? Why that? Why? And they're going through the same thing over and over again. You said, why would God put up with that? Why? If the garden was a perfect place and sin entered in, we got to fight sin now, but we got the kingdom of God inside of us. Amen. Look at this. It says this in Luke chapter 17. It says this. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. So the kingdom of God wasn't here. They said, when is the kingdom of God going to come back? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. He says, when is the kingdom of God going to come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You're not going to see it. He says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is what? It's inside you. So if the kingdom of God is inside you, the kingdom of God has a king. Who's the king in the kingdom of God inside you? Who's sitting on the throne? Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Now the kingdom's going to come back one day. But right now, we're supposed to be representing the kingdom. The kingdom's supposed to be in here. There's supposed to be joy in the kingdom. There's supposed to be gladness in the kingdom. There should be shouting in the kingdom. When a rightful king is on the throne, there should be gladness. Look with me to chapter 18, verse 17. He says, in verse 16, back up to 16. He says, Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the what? You know what you are when you get saved? You're like a baby. You're a child of God. You're a child. And a child, I love. How many of y'all love to hear children laugh? Yeah. How many of y'all don't like to hear children cry? Amen. I don't like to hear children cry. And mamas know when there's a real, real bad cry.
That's
They go running. God wants gladness in the kingdom. There's laughter should be in the kingdom. There should be joy in the kingdom. There should be happiness, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance. Being able to control your temper. You can't control your temper. God have mercy. You ought to be praying about that. I'd be on the altar saying, you know, I used to have a bad temper. The old man's still in there. Don't get me wrong. He's still there. The old man, he's still there. And I prayed about that. I prayed about my mouth when I got saved. I said, Lord, my mouth is filthy. And the Bible says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. You say, did you go to the altar and pray? I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to have a bad mouth. I don't want to have a bad heart. I don't want to be a wicked man. Like I said about this morning, being a God's woman and being a good woman, I want to be a good man. Lord, I want you to control my life. I want you, my children, to see that you control our lives. And when I mess up, I want to go to my kids and say, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. I want them to see that I messed up and say, I'm sorry about it. I don't want them to see I messed up, but I want them to know I'm saying I'm sorry about it. I want my grandkids to say the same thing. My grandson, I'm not supposed to eat gluten. And we went out to eat, and Mama questions him. Jordan's with me. And I got nuggets the other week with gluten on them. You know, that's flour and all that stuff. And I like them chicken nuggets. Yeah, I like the chicken. I got the chicken nuggets. So Mama, Jordan, she said, did y'all go to Chick-fil-A? And Jordan said, yeah, Mama. And said, Papa didn't get that grilled chicken. He got the regular chicken. I said, yeah. That's right. Be sure you're saying, I said, you little. Then I was sitting at the table, and I went out with the Labous, and we ate something, and Linda said, was it gluten-free? And Brother Labous said, no, it wasn't. I looked at him, I said, and I looked at Jordan. I said, both of you guys. So we went, Jordan, he's always pumping me. Papa, we're going to go somewhere? I said, yeah, we're going down to Tractor Supply. Went down to Tractor Supply. He said, isn't there a Chick-fil-A right across the street? I said, there's a Chick-fil-A right across the street. He said, can we go over and get some Chick-fil-A? I said, yeah. He said, but the only way we're going to do it, Papa, me and Mom told me, I got to watch over you. The only way we're going to do it is you got to get grilled chicken. I said, if I eat grilled chicken, you got to eat grilled chicken. He said, agreed. So we ate grilled chicken. He sacrificed for me. But go to, what did I say, Luke chapter 18? Look here, Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 16. Luke 18, 16. Look at what the Bible says. And Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children, come unto me. That's why I was talking about little children. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. When you got saved, you had to come to God like a little child. You had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Come in my heart. And God saved you. Amen. Now go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. We're talking about the kingdom. Chapter 19, 11. Chapter 19, verse 11. He says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh unto Jerusalem because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. See, the children, those disciples kept saying over in the book of Acts, they said, are you going to restore the kingdom now? Are you going to restore? See, they thought, okay, God, let us get back in power. We want to be back in power. God didn't allow them to get back in power. He says the kingdom of God is within you. And it's up to you whether you're going to yield the kingdom to him. Are you going to yield the kingdom? Well, let me remind you this. Your kingdom's already been paid for.
Amen.
It's been bought, and it's been paid in full. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel been paid for. And the Lord says, hey, Adam, how about taking care of the kingdom? Put your name in there. Hey, Adam, take care of the kingdom. What are you going to do with it? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Look in Romans chapter 14. Look in Romans 14. One day he's going to come back and set up a physical kingdom. But right now, guess what? Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is set up in heaven. Man cannot touch that. Man cannot mess that up. Man's messed up the kingdom down here.
Amen.
You ain't going to mess up that one up there.
Amen.
But one day he's going to come back and establish the kingdom down here.
Amen.
Man's going to mess it up again. Man, every time man puts his hands to God's kingdom, messes it up.
Right.
Every time you put your hand to your kingdom, God's kingdom, inside you, you'll mess it up. That's why you got to pray, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, don't let me have my way. I don't want my way. I want yours. You control the kingdom in me. Romans 14. Romans 14. The devil has the kingdom down here. The devil offered him to Jesus Christ. You all know Matthew chapter 4. He took him up in the high mountain. Said, all the kingdom of the world I'll give you. I'll give you everything if you'll just bow down. See, the devil wants you to bow to him. When you don't bow to God and you don't let him have the throne, then you're bowing to Satan. I'll say that again. If God is not on the throne in your life, you're allowing Satan to run the kingdom.
Yeah.
Satan's running your kingdom.
Yep.
And you belong to him. You know what you are then? Then you would be a what? Traitor. They made that movie Robin Hood years ago about King Richard was all fighting the Crusades. Got Prince John trying to connive like the devil. Connive and take over the kingdom. That's exactly what's going on.
Amen.
And then Robin Hood came, robbed the rich, gave to the poor. You got every example of these things that's going on. They make these movies or fairy tales or whatever it is. They make these things, and it's all about what's happening right now, but it's twisted. Twisted. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and look at verse 17, back up 16. It says, let not then your evil good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. There's that joy. See, when the kingdom, when the throne is being occupied by Jesus Christ, and I realize this, every day you and I live, we've got to give him the throne.
Amen.
Every day you and I live, God, Lord, don't let me run it. You run it. Every day you live, you got to give him the throne. And you got, Lord, please take over, because if I mess it up every time, I'll ruin it. God, you take over the kingdom in my life, in my family. God, you take it over. And the Bible says, if you do that, it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's showing you it's not physical. It's a spiritual thing. You know what we have? We have a spiritual problem.
Amen.
And the spiritual problem is who's running the kingdom.
Amen.
Who's going to run your kingdom? This is not, Faith Baptist Church is not my kingdom. It's not my kingdom. All he says, occupy. He tells his children, he says, occupy till I come.
Right.
Occupy. You're supposed to be occupying. Let him run the kingdom. Every time you do something you want to do, and you do it the way you want to do it, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, and you rebel against God, guess what? You've taken the kingdom back in your hands. You've allowed the devil control your life. The kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. One day when the Lord comes back, take your Bible, look in Revelation. We're going to close it out. There's so much I can show you here. I wanted to show you, man, there's thousands of verses. There's 400 verses on the kingdom. 400. More than the virgin birth and the death of Jesus Christ put together is on the kingdom. So God cares about the kingdom. God cares about who's going to get the throne. And he knows who's going to get the throne. Look in Revelation chapter 1. And it says this. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. On him that loved us, it says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, have made us. See, it's not your time right now to reign. It says, kings, what you are right now is a priest. Kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Right now, what we are is just like David was a prophet, David was a king, and David was a priest. He was all three, type of Jesus Christ. And there's men in the Bible that were prophets, but they weren't priests. There's men in the Bible that were priests that weren't kings. Right now, what you and I are is we're priests on our God. We're interceding. We're interceding for people to try to bring them in to the kingdom, trying to get them to the place that they would accept the king as their king. The Bible says Samuel went to God and said, Lord, they wanted a king. And God says, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. Right. You reject God being the king in your life and running this throne and running this kingdom in your life, it'd just be allowing Satan to ruin everything that God did to save you, provide for you. You allow Satan to run it and destroy it. The Bible tells us we know how it's going to end up. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Look in Revelation chapter 20. We know how the thing's going to end up. Revelation 20. Guess what? God gets the kingdom. He ends up getting a kingdom on this earth as well. He ends up coming back and taking the kingdom by force. He takes it from the devil himself. In Revelation 20, it says this. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Again, he said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up, and so on. And it says, and let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, and the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I fell at the worship, so on. And it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. He's coming back by force to take the kingdom of heaven back. He's coming back. Go to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll close with this. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Look at this. Matthew 12 and look at verse 28. The Lord wants to run the kingdom. How are you helping the kingdom? Are you shedding light? Are you bearing light? Are you giving to advance the kingdom? Do you give to God's work? I mean, we got missionaries. You say, what are the missionaries doing? What are they doing around the world? They're trying to advance the kingdom. They're going out spreading the word, trying to be a light in a foreign, dark place. They're spreading the light. They're trying to represent the king. They're trying to let the king run their life and their kingdom. And they're spreading the light. And we as his God's children are trying to advance the kingdom. We support them to go out. What are you doing to help advance the kingdom? Are you giving out the word of God? Are you reading the word of God? Are you testifying about how great the king is? Are you telling people how great the kingdom is once you get saved? how much peace, how much joy, how much happiness, how much contentment that you have as a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. The world looks at your life, and they see your life as like looks like hell on earth and all messed up. They don't want no part of the kingdom that you represent. They don't want no part of it. And boy, I tell you what, when you stand before God, he's going to have something to say about it. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 28. Matthew 12, 28. It says this. It says, but I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, but the kingdom of God has come unto you. See, they were saying, you're casting devils out. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And he that is not with me is what? And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manners of sin, blasphemy. He goes on and tells them that all sin could be forgiven but that sin that they said that he was of the devil and what he was doing was the devil's work. That sin, a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said, he that is not with me is against me. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. I'd say it's time to get the kingdom in order in your life. And let the rightful king have the throne. Let him run your life. It's all about the kingdom. He says, kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's more than just what you see. It's more. Some people think all that's in the Bible is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that's all that was in there, thank God for that.
Yeah.
But it's all about a kingdom. 7,000 years going into 8. It'll go into 8,000 and then eternity about a kingdom. And who's ruling it?
Yeah.
All these kings around the world, all these kings been fighting. Israel thought, you know what? We're the rightful owners of the kingdom. Think about it. Your Bible, Jewish.
Right.
I mean, man, your Savior, Jewish.
Man,
everything was Jewish. They said, we got the kingdom. God's not going to take it away from us. Just like Christians today, I got the kingdom. God ain't going to take it away from me. No, you can't lose your salvation, but he can shut the kingdom down. Your little kingdom. He can shut that down. I want him to rule. I want him to run it. Because if I put my hands to it, every time I do, I'll mess it up.
Amen.
And then the devil gets control. And he runs it and destroys it. The devil said to Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world I'll give you. Just bow down. Who are you going to let run your kingdom? So I run my own kingdom. Yep, we can tell.
Yeah,
we can tell. We can tell. We see how it is. We see how it's going to end up. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, and look at verse, if you want to look at it, 16:28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his what? Kingdom. Brother, I'm telling sisters, it's about a kingdom. It's about a king. And it's about who runs the kingdom and who's the king in your life. And who's going to have control? Is it you? And you know what I find? I find when people take control of their own kingdom, they're not happy. They're depressed. They think, if only had the kingdom full control, if I have it all, I'd be happy. If I had the money and if I had the power, and you see people with that money and with power jumping off buildings, killing themselves, overdosing on drugs. Why? they're not happy. When the king is on the throne, the real king, the rightful king, and he's running the kingdom, there's peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And you won't let things bother you. You'll say, the king's on the throne, everything's going to be all right. When the king's on the throne, it's going to be fine. He'll take care of it. It's not mine. It's his business. Father, thank you, God, this morning for your word. Thank you for the kingdom. My Father, I pray, God, help each and every one of us this morning examine ourselves to see who's running our kingdom.